Father, open up our hearts to receive your word now. May our minds be attentive and our wills submissive to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure what kind of parents this guy had, but over a century and a half ago, this particular teenage was often to be found in the cellar of his home, experimenting with chemicals that he had bought in the local store. Don't think you want your kids experimenting with chemicals that they'd bought. You never know what might happen. He seldom attended school, and the largest part of his education was gained through self-study. He was an avid reader, read lots of books on history and science, and in order to buy the chemicals he needed for his experiments, he worked at all kinds of odd jobs. His curiosity was insatiable, and he experimented continually. Who was this person? This boy was Thomas Alva Edison. And he became, he became one of the great inventors of the 19th, 20th century. He invented the light bulb, and he invented the phonograph, that went before what we now call our hi-fi systems. As people looked at this boy, they almost wrote him off as someone who had little to commend him. But God knew the potential that Thomas Alva Edison had in his life, and he became one of the world's great inventors. God brought that potential out in his life. In the parable of the mustard seed, Jesus vividly and unforgettably illustrated the incredible possibilities of the kingdom of God. These possibilities you don't always see, obviously, but one day they will be fulfilled. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed." And a mustard seed that's planted in a field, it's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes one of the largest of garden plants and grows into a tree where birds can come and find shelter in its branches. I remember being on one of my trips to Israel, and a mustard seed was put in the palm of my hand. I could hardly see it. It looked as if it was just a little dirty mark, that's all. It was tiny. Infinitesimally small, but that seed has the potential of growing to a plant 12 to 15 feet high. And I don't think Jesus could have thought of a better example to illustrate the spectacular possibilities that can exist in people who the world looks down on as being of little consequence. And this parable is one that encourages us today. If we're feeling a bit discouraged, a bit down, things are hard and difficult, then it encourages us to see that Jesus can take the little that we are and the little that we have and use it greatly in his work. So we see, first of all, in the parable, the potential of an insignificant believer. I'm sure there are times when you feel very small and very insignificant, just like a mustard seed. As far as the world's concerned, we're not important at all. Perhaps we don't feel that we're of any importance to our employer even. We're just dispensable. Perhaps as Christians we may feel we've got little significance in the eyes of our fellow believers. Perhaps even we think God doesn't reckon much to us. But to God, every individual person is significant. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, it was to a congregation that was largely made up of people who were slaves. So they were people who didn't even have control of their own lives. They were owned by others. There were people in the congregation there who at one time had been prostitutes and homosexuals and swindlers and drunkards. what could God do with a people like that? Well, the answer is God could do a great deal with people like that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:27 to 29, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they're wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. And perhaps in this church this morning, you may feel that you are insignificant when the world looks on you, that you are of little or no consequence as far as the world is concerned. But what's come through not only a point I'm trying to make in this message, but also in Anne's talk to the children, is that we are incredibly significant to God. And he has invested within us potential that one day he will set free and release within the world. When Jesus chose his disciples, not one of them was a religious leader. Not one of them belonged to the economic or social aristocracy. The men he chose were few in number, largely uneducated, weak, fearful, slow to understand and believe. Generally speaking, they were not the kind of people you would have chosen to change the world. But Jesus changed the world through these people. He loved them, he invested his life in them, and they turned the world upside down. And Jesus loves you this morning, and Jesus has invested his life in you this morning. If you are a Christian, you've reached out to Jesus and asked him to be your Lord and Savior, and you're seeking to follow him. He has invested himself in you. And all the potential of Jesus is there in your life. And he is just waiting to set that potential free and to turn your world upside down. So you may be discouraged by your failure this morning. You may be disappointed. You're never given any specific responsibility in the church. You may be disheartened because the people you talk to never seem to get converted. You may be depressed because you feel you're constrained by your own personal limitations. But to quote the saying on T-shirt, be patient. God's not finished with me yet. God's not finished with any of us yet. He's wanting to release all the potential he has in our lives. So we're significant and we're important to him, and we possess incredible possibilities. Secondly, we see the paradox of an inauspicious church. If you think you feel small and insignificant, what about the church? I mean, what about this church? Here we are, 70-odd people in a town, and part of a town where there's probably 35,000 people. What impact can 70 people make on 35,000? Let me tell you, we can make a huge impact. We can have an amazing ministry and reach people that they might be introduced to Jesus and find their lives being transformed by him. You see, throughout history, God's always worked with small numbers. We talked about Jesus and just 12 disciples. Way back in the Old Testament, Jesus called one man, Abraham, and promised to make of him a great nation. Later on, he promised he would save a remnant, just a small group, from his people who had been taken away in captivity into Babylon, and the remnant returned, and the nation was reestablished. What God is able to do with one person, with just a small group of people, the world can be transformed by that one person, by that small group of people. Jesus said to Peter, "I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." What did Peter make of that statement when he looked at himself and he looked at the other disciples? Later on, after the crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and ascension, we're told in Acts 1:15 there were only about 120 believers. How can you build a church against which the powers of hell will not be able to resist it? God did it. God did it. And Revelation 5:9 reminds us that today, 2,000 years on, Jesus has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language, people and nation. God has done it and is still doing it, and he's not finished yet. He's not finished yet. The church is God's chosen instrument through which he reaches out to all people in the world today. And there's coming a day when Revelation 11:15 promises the whole world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. One day, one day, the kingdom will come. There are many things about the church today that discourage and disappoint us. Sometimes we look at the church in our country, and there seems to be so much nominalism and formalism, and it's sad. People are just going through routines rather than expressing living, dynamic faith in Jesus. In Isaiah 29:13, God said, "These people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. And their worship of me amounts to nothing more than human laws learned by rote." How tragic. Jesus said to the Laodicean church, "All the things you do, I know. I know that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other." But beneath all that discourages us in the 21st century Christian church in the United Kingdom, beneath all of that, God still has his faithful people. God still has those who have never bowed to Baal or kissed him. If you remember the story with the prophet Elijah, he thought he was the only one. Brothers and sisters, we are not the only one. God still has his church. And God is building that church, and that church is very much alive. And we may see decline, and we may see church closures all around us, but once all that rubbish gets out of the way, the real church emerges. And that church is not inauspicious. It will be something beautiful when Jesus comes again and takes that church to himself like a beautiful bride prepared for her husband. So the potential of an insignificant believer, the paradox of an inauspicious church, all this in a little story Jesus told about a mustard seed, and then finally the productiveness of an inconspicuous work. Just a tiny seed it was, just a tiny seed. But in fulfilling its potential, Jesus said it became the largest of garden plants and grows into a tree. It fulfilled a valuable purpose. It provided a place of rest. As this seed grew into a tree, it provided a place of rest. People could rest under its branches from the heat of the day. It became a place of shelter from the storms for the birds. And it became a place of abundant provision because it produced these wonderful little black seeds in the pods growing on the branches. Although it had small beginnings, it had a very productive outcome. The work that we are doing for Jesus may look no bigger than a mustard seed. It may seem to be insignificant and of little consequence compared to other things in the world. Our work may never be front page news in our newspapers. It may never be acknowledged by men for its earthly success. But the work we're doing for God, however humble, however small, has eternal consequences and is of eternal value in God's sight. In the group of children that have gone through to the Sunday school, who are being taught faithfully in the Sunday school about the love of God and the salvation that is ours in Christ, in those little lives, maybe one who will become a Billy Graham. That needy person that you reach out to help, not much that you can do, but you can give them a little something to help them through a difficult patch. Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, when you did it to one of the least of these my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. You're doing something wonderful for Jesus. And God honors that, and God blesses that, and God uses it to build his church. And when you show hospitality, the writer to Hebrews in 13:2 says, show hospitality to strangers, because you may entertain angels without realizing it. That little amount of money that we bought, perhaps some of that at real personal cost to us, may seem infinitesimal when compared to the needs that we have. But Jesus valued the 2 copper pennies that the widow put into the offering in the temple because it was all she had. And when we give whatever we can, whatever we have, God honors that. I have a memory from childhood of a slogan used to encourage us to save. Some of you will know it well. Big trees from little acorns grow. And the same's true of the mustard seed. Many an effective ministry began as a tiny mustard seed. Brother Andrew started his ministry simply by smuggling Bibles in across to Eastern Europe. And it was just a small thing that he started. But out of that came Open Doors Ministry. And now that the Berlin Wall is no longer there and there's freedom to move into a lot of these countries where Christians were being persecuted and oppressed, the Word of God is able to go there freely. And even in Russia, when they celebrated the millennium of the Russian Orthodox Church, Open Doors were able to provide 1 million Bibles. 1 million Russian Bibles to help the believers there. And it began with one man smuggling Bibles in his Volkswagen Beetle as he went across the boundaries. Jesus says this, if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. What does Jesus want to do with you? A mustard seed this morning. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you. He wants to reach others through you. Your life may appear to be inconspicuous, unspectacular, infinitesimally small like a mustard seed, but from God's perspective, you have incredible potential, and there are endless possibilities that He can fulfill in us by His grace. This morning, let me encourage you, stay faithful. Work on in the service of Jesus. Don't be intimidated by the world, but be encouraged by the God who loves you and who has invested Himself in your life. And you hand that life back to Him and just watch what He can do with it. Amen. Father, thank You for Your word, for its encouragement, and for its blessing. May it bear fruit in our lives now, in Jesus' name. Amen.